As you listen to the gospel reading this morning, listen for what makes you wonder. I wonder why Jesus said that. I wonder what it felt like to hear that. And also listen for what you notice. I notice that this makes me uncomfortable. And I've read the gospel. After I've read it once through, I'll invite you into conversation and into more wondering and more noticing. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So grace and peace to you, beloved ones of Christ Jesus. Amen. So, there you have it. That is our gospel reading for this morning. I'll just sit down now and we can go on. No. So Luke's version of Jesus' Beatitudes, the blessings, that's what we have heard this morning, Luke's version. Remember the Beatitudes and how they show up two times in the Bible, in Matthew's gospel, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and then again in Luke's gospel, in what we call the Sermon on the Plain or the Sermon on the Level Place, it's sometimes said. That's what we heard this morning. And in Matthew's Beatitudes, there are 9 blessings, lovely, comforting, beautiful. People say, "Oh, could we use that for my wedding or my funeral? They're so beautiful." And in case you're curious, in Matthew's Gospels, there is not a single woe in sight, not a one. Luke, the one we heard this morning, on the other hand, has 4 blessings and has 4 woes, carefully correlated. And once you get past the cool literary moves and the way that they've been correlated, and you listen to the words, they are raw, and they're real, and they're honest, and they're convicting, very convicting. And if you listen closely, especially listen closely, being honest about our cultural location, they should really make us squirm. In this sermon on the plain, the Sermon on the Level Place, Jesus is describing to disciples the values held in God's kingdom, in God's reign. So today, to dig deeper, I invite you into what I call, or we call, an I Wonder, I Notice sermon. Some of you have experienced this before. For others, it's a new opportunity. In an I Wonder, I Notice sermon, we're all called to engage the Scripture. You've heard me read the gospel once through already, and in a few minutes, I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to read it slowly, very slowly. And your job is to interrupt me, and I mean it. Interrupt using a phrase that begins either, "I wonder, ... whatever it is that you wonder, or "I notice, ... whatever it is that you notice. And because it's a big space and because our ears sometimes have trouble, I'll do my best to hear it and I'll repeat what you say so it's amplified and everybody can hear it better. And after that, another person may jump in with something that they wonder or that they notice, or I'll continue until I'm interrupted again, because that's how this works. So today it may sound something like this at the very beginning of our gospel. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. I wonder where he was coming down from. I wonder who was with Jesus. Or I notice they're on a level place. Remember, only two rules. There are no wrong answers. Let the Spirit lead us as a community. You may feel like you don't know enough, but really, these can be the very best interruptions. Your job is to interrupt, and it only works if you do that. And secondly, use the structure. Use the structure. Begin your interruption with, I wonder or I notice. I wonder or I notice. So are you ready? Do you have voices? I hope so. My name is Jen. What's your name?
Jane.
With a Y. Okay, let's try this. I wonder or I notice. Those are the lines that you begin it with. I wonder or I notice. And choir, you can get in on the game too, so don't just talk loudly. I'll try to listen, okay? Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place.
I wonder what the level place really looked like.
I wonder what the level place really looked like.
I wonder why it was a level place.
I wonder why it was a level place. I wonder if he was on a level place and everyone else was on a hill. I wonder where he came down from. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. I wonder how many people were in the crowd. I wonder how all those people from far away heard that Jesus was going to be there. Go ahead, Charlene. I wonder how long it took them to get there. I notice that the writer is very specific about where they are coming from and the different places. I wonder how many disciples there were besides the 12. A great multitude. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases.
I wonder how well they could hear him. I wonder how well they could hear him from so far away.
I wonder how well they could hear him so far away. Amen. I wonder what their diseases were. I noticed that they had hope. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him. For power came out from him and healed all. I wonder if he was claustrophobic. I wonder if he reached out to the people who were just a little too far away to touch him. I wonder why people suffer from diseases now if these people could be cured. Say it one more time. I notice they believe in him. I wonder how the power felt. I wonder if they had to touch him to be healed. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." I notice that that seems like it's the opposite of what the Old Testament says, where it says that rich people are blessed. I wonder why he's focusing this teaching on his disciples. I wonder how poor is poor.
I wonder if he means poor in what way.
I wonder if
financially, spiritually.
I wonder if he means poor in what way? Physically, financially, spiritually? Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. I wonder whether that's physical hunger. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. I notice that in that list there is something for everyone. I notice that that's how some people treated Jesus.
I wonder if you have to have "on account of the Son of Man" in that sentence.
I wonder if you have to have "on account of the Son of Man" in that sentence. I wonder how we know when something is done on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets.
I wonder if he believed, if those people believed that everything he said was going to happen.
I wonder if those people believed that everything he said was going to happen. I wonder what kind of reward he is talking about. I notice that it's difficult to rejoice when you're reviled. I wonder whose ancestors he's talking about. I wonder what they thought about him. I wonder if they were all just cured and healed, how carefully they were able to listen to the message. But woe to you who are rich.
I wonder if I'm rich.
I wonder if I am rich.
I wonder what that means for us.
I wonder what that means for us.
I wonder if the rich people left before they heard the end.
I wonder if the rich people left before they heard the end. For you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep.
What does it mean to laugh?
I wonder what it means to laugh.
I notice that it makes me fear the future.
I notice that it makes me fear the future. I notice that there's a parallel to the earlier. I wonder if it means that you have to be one or the other. I wonder if all of us are both. I wonder if the Christian church realizes how radical Jesus was. Amen, sister. Whoa. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. I wonder why that was included, why there you should have woe if somebody speaks well of you.
I wonder what you have to do to get people to not speak well of you.
I wonder what you have to do to get people to not speak well of you and revile you. I notice that he speaks of ancestors in both cases, which is before the time of Jesus. I wonder who judged these false prophets. I wonder if the crowd still sees this as good news. I wonder if both the blessings and the woes are contingent upon the Son of Man clause. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whoa, good work, folks. You had a lot to share. Oh, my goodness. We could go on and on and on for a long time, and we're going to try not to. But I do wonder about the good news in all of this. I've been wondering about that as well. And I want you to think the whole service has good news. So exactly how it sorts out in this part, it's going to fall on different ears in different ways. Let me share just a few more things that I've noticed in my preparation. I noticed that Jesus and the newly named disciples come down from that mountain. And Jesus talks to them on the plain. We spoke of that already, the level place. Remember that Matthew sets these blessings on a mountain. Isn't it interesting that Luke tells us the same story, or almost the same story, from a level place while Matthew has them on a mountain? I notice there's something powerfully, uncomfortably equalizing about being on a plain or on a level place. That's the point, isn't it? It's leveling. It's leveling. We're strangely wired to look for who is ahead of us and who is behind us. We notice wealth and popularity and physical beauty, and we lift up those things in our culture. And then there are those who our biases somehow make it okay to look down upon. Kind of get where that's coming from? We ask questions like, is she worthy? And we stir up storms of shame for ourselves and for others. Middle schoolers know these cultural rules, and the rest of us, to be honest, I think we do as well. We're good at placing ourselves in the world's pecking order. And yet in this radical upside-down teaching of Jesus, that is the point. Caroline Lewis writes, we don't get to stand on the mountains or wallow in the valleys. Instead, Jesus calls us to create level places for God's way, God's values to flourish. I notice that Jesus seems to sense that the disciples will be tempted, like we may be tempted, to assign some as the blessed and others as those who are worthy of woe. Don't do it, he seems to say. Don't do it because my reign won't follow your rigid rules. This isn't about categorizing people, blessed or woe. It's about lifting up values. It's about living these values. The lines between blessings and woe sometimes get a little bit blurry. I notice that when Jesus says, you, blessed are you who are poor, blessed are you who weep, woe to you. It's always, in the original language, you all. It's always plural. So if you're taking that personally and you're saying every one of these was at me directly, it is, and yet it's at all of us directly. It's at you all. These values are meant to be held in community. And I wonder what this passage can teach us. How this passage is life-giving. We with the relative wealth, we with our fullness, we who act like we can take care of ourselves, like we don't need one another, let alone God. This week, as we live more deeply into hosting families moving forward and the tensions of privilege and need and race that sometimes this week can stir. This week, as we ponder our identity as a sanctuary congregation, even as the president has declared a state of emergency at our border, these words from Jesus can remind us, as Richard Rohr says, how easily our human hearts can deceive us everything is all right, we want to say. This injustice that's in the air that falls like snow, it's just how it is. No, Jesus cries in our gospel. No, no. There is another way, and together, together we can follow. In our living and in our dying, by God's grace, we can follow this other way. So before I conclude, many of you have heard about the death of Bob Felling this week. Just last Sunday when we gathered for worship, we were praying for Bob and so many others for healing. We've been praying for Bob for many, many months, years off and on. But his death on Monday was unexpected, and it was so devastating for his family and for his friends. Bob was just 56 years old. Bob's wife is Tammy, and they have an adult son named Nick, and then they've got two in high school, two who have been relatively recently confirmed, Josh and Kelsey. Tammy wrote of Bob for the eulogy, "Everything he did for his family." Bob was a decent person, honest and truthful, caring and helpful, gentle but strong. His shoulders were broad. He carried all of us. He is deeply loved, Tammy wrote. Blessed are those who weep. On Friday, we gathered here in this space, in God's wide mercy, for a funeral for Bob Felling. And when members of this congregation die, we remember how the waters that first washed over them at baptism hold them now in death. And so today we pray at the baptismal font, linking ourselves to God's powerful waters of promise. Let us pray. Holy God, holy and powerful, we remember before you today our brother Bob Felling. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. At these waters of baptism, you welcomed him into your love. At these waters, you comforted him in times of trouble and encouraged him in delight. At these waters, you now enfold him into Jesus' death and resurrection and the promise of life everlasting. Console us who mourn and bring us together to feast with all the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.